Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministry. Very busy day today, no doubt about it. We are listening to Matt Barr, the Attorney General, giving his words of the redacted report, the Mueller report. And that word redacted, by the way, in case you don't know, simply means that they have kind of edited the text to make it a public display rather than all the rhetoric or the language of lawyers. You know, that's pretty tough stuff. Just read one of those books. But they make it something plausible for the people to understand, and that's what you heard, and you heard a justification if you were listening to the news report this morning that the President of the United States is not guilty concerning any charges of collusion. That is going to be a very interesting reality as we will look at some of the things that are going on in the world today, and what's at the door? What does this all mean? Well, before we go any further in that, I want to go back to what we were talking about yesterday, the Notre Dame fire in Paris, and now it's out. It is a bunch of speculation as to what really happened. And so here's a report from Prophecy News Network. The entire world was absolutely shocked. Well, I wasn't shocked by the massive fire that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral on Monday. We are being told that the structure of the cathedral has been saved, but according to CNN, the entire wooden interior of Notre Dame Cathedral has been lost. Now that the initial shock of the fire has subsided, the internet is buzzing with speculation about the origin of the fire. In the end, there are only two options. Either this was an accident or someone intentionally started the fire. And if the fire was intentionally started, obviously someone had a motive for doing so. Time columnist Christopher J. Hale set off a firestorm of speculation when he tweeted that a friend who works at the cathedral told him cathedral staff said the fire was intentionally set. Hale deleted the tweet just a few minutes later. Was he lying about what he had been told? Coming from a professional journalist, that doesn't seem likely. Instead, it is much more likely that Hale quickly figured out that he said something that he wasn't supposed to say. A YouTube video that purportedly contains audio of Muslims celebrating the fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral has also sparked a lot of speculation. But at this point, there doesn't appear to be any way to verify the authenticity of the video. But what we do know is that all of this comes at a time when churches all over France are being attacked. On March 17th, the second largest church in France erupted in flames, and police later ruled that it was not an accident. While Notre Dame is undoubtedly the most well-known landmark to be affected, Paris's second largest church, St. Sulpice, briefly burst into flames on March 17th. The fire damaging doors and stained glass windows on the building's exterior. Police later reported that the incident had not been an accident. Overall, a dozen Catholic churches were either set on fire or greatly vandalized during one seven-day stretch last month. Now, isn't that interesting that we had six black churches in the South right here in the United States that were set on fire in a seven-day period? And it's very interesting that if it's Islamic, going back to the old Crusader days, which is what things are really looking like, or racism in the United States, we have this divide here. We have this separation going on. So a dozen Catholic churches, a dozen, have been desecrated across France over the period of 1 week in an egregious case of anti-Christian vandalism. The recent spate of church profanations has puzzled both police and ecclesiastical leaders, who have mostly remained silent as the violations have spread up and down France. Well, last Sunday, marauders set fire to the Church of St. Sulpice, one of Paris's largest and most important churches, shortly after the 12 o'clock mass. And some of the vandalism that was reported during the seven-day period was deeply, deeply disturbing. So in Nimes, or the Department of the Guard, near the border with Spain, the Church of Notre Dame des Enfants was desecrated in a particularly odious way, with vandals painting a cross with human excrement, looting the main altar and the tabernacle, and stealing the consecrated hosts, which were discovered later among piles of garbage. Likewise, the Church of Notre Dame in Dijon in the east of the country suffered the sacking of the high altar, and the hosts were also taken from the tabernacle, scattered on the ground, and trampled. Could it be possible that there is a connection between those attacks and the fire that just erupted at the Notre Dame Cathedral? That is a question that any decent investigator would be asking at this point. We also know that anti-Christian and anti-Semitic attacks are on the rise in France. Just check out these numbers. The number of anti-Semitic attacks, 541, rose 74% from 2017 and 18, while anti-Muslim attacks numbered just 100, the lowest since 2010. Meanwhile, in the same period, there were 1,063 anti-Christian attacks, a slight increase on the previous year. Needless to say, radical Islamists are responsible for most of the attacks against Christians and Jews, and the number of Muslims living in the Paris area has greatly increased in recent years. According to reports, the number of Jews fleeing France for their safety has dramatically increased since 2000. In one Paris suburb alone, Saint-Denis, 40% of the population is Muslim, while 400,000 illegal immigrants also live there. But in this politically correct era, we aren't supposed to talk about attacks against Christians, and this is especially true if those attacks are conducted by radical Islamists. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the attacks are real. There are reports that there are sections of France that are Islamic zones where Sharia law is promoted, that there are people that live in France not even permitted to go to these areas that have been no-go zones that are dominated by the Islamic community. All right, so I want to put some things together this morning. All right, we have this Notre Dame. Now comes the idea, well, it wasn't just a fire. Most likely, as Daniel Seckham said yesterday, they saw an Islamic man running across, and I think he was shouting Allahu Akbar or something like that. They always do. Now, but here's what's interesting. We look to the television screen, and 2 years, maybe a little bit more, 2 years of this Russia collusion, CNN. Now the left is going to pull their hair out. They're going nuts. They're going crazy because Barr is a stooge of Donald Trump, and la la la, you know, goes on and on. The divide is real. The racist divide is real. The cultural divide is real. The social divide is real. The political divide is real. there is a genuine divide, a division. Jesus said a house divided cannot stand. Well, here's where I want to kind of turn the page a little bit as we look at these things. I was preparing for my time on the air today, and I noted something of a marker that was kind of dangling out of the side of my Bible, and I just, for the first time, it's always been there, and I just thought, well, let me go check that out, and I opened up to a page that I thought was pretty darn amazing, if you ask me. Yesterday, when I was on KIRM Radio for 25 minutes, the first 25 minutes, there was an eruption of things that were said that I even heard one dear Christian man say, man, I didn't know if I wanted to continue listening to that. It was so harsh. And, you know, I thought about that, and I know I prayed and I asked the Lord to, you know, share whatever he wanted. And I also knew that it was purposeful intent to shock people awake and to have a forehead adamant stone, and that there was such a lacking of penetration into people's hearts and minds to awaken this divine sense of what's really going on. So I let it rip yesterday, in other words, on radio. And then I actually walked off the air myself going, wow, Lord, I was stunned myself for a period of time. And then things began to change throughout the day. And waking up this morning, I opened up to this page, and I want to read it to you in Jeremiah chapter 15. Yes, it's a Jeremiah prophecy. I wasn't looking for it, but here it is. And with what is going on in France, what is going on in our country, what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now, here is the word of the Lord, and I do believe it is prophetic. Verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 15. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Well, let me just begin in verse 1 here in the Word of God. You know, Moses was an amazing intercessor. Samuel was an amazing intercessor. When he showed up, Lord, are you here for good or evil, Samuel? He was God's prophet, no doubt about it. And so these two great men, which were intercessors, God is saying through the prophet Jeremiah, even if they stood before me to intercede for this people, God's own people, Israel, yet my mind could not be toward this people. And God says, cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. That is a serious indictment. You want to talk about indictments against somebody? When God says that the two greatest intercessors on the planet would not change my mind about these people. They are so wicked. They are so corrupt. They are so defiled. They are so depraved. They have sinned so greatly. I mean, when it gets to that point, you know there's a problem. And when you step back and you look at the United States and France, their buildings are being destroyed, but the church was destroyed a long time ago in France. Let me tell you, all those buildings are outward facades. But that nation obviously has been under judgment, that country under judgment for a very, very long time because of their sin as well. Now, in verse 2, God continues to speak through the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, it shall come to pass if they say unto you, this is God talking to Jeremiah, if they say unto you, whither shall we go forth? Then you shall tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, such as are for the sword to the sword, such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. Verse 3, and I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord. The sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of the heaven, and the beast of the earth to devour and destroy. You see, in these first three verses, God is giving serious words of judgment against a people who have offended him, who have forsaken him. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the same God today that he was in the days of Jeremiah. Just because we are under a new covenant does not mean that God has changed. The new covenant is a benefit and a blessing to anybody that would come to him. in humble contrition, in confession, in repentance, in brokenness, and are willing to receive the grace of God and to be empowered and go and sin no more. God grants that favor. Their sins are forgiven. He receives us openly with love, tender love and mercy and kindness. There's no doubt. But when an individual or a nation begins to exploit or pervert that grace of God, that love of God, and forsakes the Lord and allows through legislation the mass murder of innocent babies, or allows perversion of homosexuality or lesbianism or transgenderism and corruption and saturates the society with all kinds of evil and wickedness, when men begin to worship idols and not God, when we set up other temples and philosophical or Buddhist temples to worship at or whatever, and we saturate the mind of a nation through mind control on television, computer, radio, when we flood the nation with every filthy, blasphemous thing on television against the Lord and against his Christ, right? When that happens, it's a period of time. Now, what have we been doing for the last 40 to 50 years? Ladies and gentlemen, we have been offending God again and again and again. And as someone said, America has not won a war since World War II. We have been in constant battle, but really no victories. And everything they show as a victory is not really a victory. And we are now coming to that point, that boiling point, that tipping point. Listen to this. Listen to this in verse 4. Jeremiah 15:4, and I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. You know, that really happened. The Jews were scattered to the ends of the earth. You know that, and I know that. We're living in that time when in 1948, 71 years ago, is it now? 71 years ago, when Israel began to be established as a gathering place and that the Jews began to come back home after 1900 years, what a prophetic time that is. And of course, the prophecy tells us by Jesus himself, when you see the fig tree set forth her branches and her leaves, know that all these things that I've been talking to you about, which namely are the great tribulation, the second coming of Christ, are at the door. And so it's at the door, okay? Now, they were scattered to all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh. Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. All right, so the judgment is coming because of a leadership in Jerusalem. If we take types and shadows, we look at the United States of America, a Judeo-Christian nation, and we look at the people that have occupied Pennsylvania Avenue, the White House, the Supreme Court of the United States, all these people that are supposed to be in leadership and rulership, who are called to be righteous leaders, who have in the last 55 years, since 1962, 1963, have offended God so deeply, okay? Let's just keep it what it is. And rather than leadership guiding a nation into the moral righteousness where we could enjoy the fruitful benefit, we have become a society of very sick people where we now normalize things that were once condemned within our society that people went to prison for. I know you've heard it before. I've said it 100 times before, but it needs to be said again. That there was a time in the United States of America that abortion was illegal, that homosexuality was illegal. You went to prison for such things. There was a time in this country that you went there that pornography was illegal, that when Gone with the Wind came on the scenes real early in our time, when the television came out, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn. That word damn shocked the nation. You know this. You've heard this. Okay. And we've come a long way since those days to see what we have become. Now, does God wink at it? Well, if we go back to the word and remember, please remember what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he told them that they were supposed to learn about God by the way he acted in the Old Testament. You say the Bible doesn't say that. Yes, it does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I always share this for that one person that, you know, maybe hasn't heard this before, even though we've talked about it, but I'll just pick it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. It says, now these things were our examples. What things? Well, they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were baptized in the cloud. I mean, it goes on, right? But now these things, church at Corinth, were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink. They rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, verse 11, all these things happened unto them for ensamples or patterns, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, if you go back to the first few verses, he's talking primarily, moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. They drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, Old Testament saints, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So obviously, the Apostle Paul is telling the New Testament church those things that were done to them in their journey are examples and samples, patterns, so that you and I would be admonished by them that we wouldn't do the same thing. Why? Because we would get the same judgment. So it is impossible for a true student of the Word of God, a true born-again, Spirit-filled Christian, to ignore or to illegitimize in some way the scriptures of the prophets, of the Torah. They are examples. That's what the Word of God says. So now we move forward, and we see in verse 4 again that this Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, is or leadership in Jerusalem at that time, representing leadership in Washington, D.C. at this time in our Judeo-Christian nation, following the pattern, Jeremiah 15:5. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? And I'm going to read it this way. Who shall have pity upon thee, O Washington, D.C.? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how you do? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. So he's speaking to the leadership of the nation. Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward, and we certainly have. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am weary with repenting. Wow. When do you ever think that God comes to a place, he says, you know what? I am tired of repenting with this nation. Repenting of what? The evil that I said I was going to do, then I hold back. I refrain from I repent. I don't do what I say. This went on for 40 years in Jeremiah's generation while he was prophesying. We have been warned for a long time in America about the course that we are taking, and that we're coming to that place where I believe in the prophetic spirit of God, the Lord is saying to our country right now, with all the rigmarole going on, and all the underhandedness, depravity, corruption, you know, all the stuff, I'm weary with repenting. In verse 7, and I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. God says he's going to destroy his own people. You know, we have to understand something about God. God created a man by the name of Adam, and that man was male and female, Mr. and Mrs. Adam. And God created them in his image, and God created them in his likeness, did he not? I mean, that's God's masterpiece. And yet God told them, don't you dare sin, because the day that you do, you're going to die. And they sinned, and they died. And because of their sin, this world has been in its condition now, as we understand from Adam outside the garden, time beginning, to Abraham 2,000 years, from Abraham to Christ, another 2,000, and from Christ to the time we're in now, another 2,000. We're near 6,000 years into this whole thing. And the world has been in the same broken, sinful condition ever since. One man's sin. The restoration takes place in Christ, one soul at a time. One soul, one person at a time, that comes to faith in God through his son, Jesus Christ, is incorporated into the eternal house of God, the body of Christ, right? We get that. But when God says, I'm going to destroy my people, he means it. And when God says, my hand is being lifted against the United States of America for what they have done, because they refuse to turn from their ways, I will destroy them. Now listen to verse 8. This is very clever. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. Wow, there's going to be a lot of widows, which means a lot of men are going to die. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. Well, who is the spoiler? The Shaddad is the Hebrew word, the Shaddad. And you know what that word means? The one that will deal violently, who will devastate, ruin, and destroy. That's what the word spoiler means. To deal violently, to be burly, to ravage. Sounds like the wild man to me. The wild man, Ishmael. He is the spoiler that will come suddenly. Now, he will bring terrors in verse 8 upon the city. I was listening to Mr. Deckard, a prophetic voice last night while I was on my way to Betty By. And Patricia had this Deckard on, I believe it was. He was talking about, I couldn't believe it, because I was on radio talking about nuclear devices being detonated in major cities. I've been talking about it since 2004 because God showed me something, and in its time, it's going to come to pass. Well, yesterday on Kerm Radio, I talked about the nuclear devices being detonated. This man, Deckard, said yes yesterday when I was listening to him last night that the terrorists have in their cities these nuclear devices that they're going to detonate. I was talking the other day about how there's a network of sleeper cells, terror cells in the United States, that they're all have making certain parts, but they're never put it all together in one place because you don't put all your eggs in a basket. They're doing this, and then at the right time, they'll gather together, put it together, and detonate these devices. It's going to come. And then here comes verse 9, Jeremiah 15, 9. She that has borne seven languishes. She hath given up the ghost. Her son, S-U-N, is gone down while it was yet day. She has been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. So here's a woman in travail, a mother burdened, lamenting, sorrowful for the destruction of her children. Jeremiah 15:10. Woe is me, my mother. Now here, I believe, is the shift of where Jeremiah is crying out to his mother because of the word of the Lord that he just received to speak against his nation. He cries out in verse 10, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. Jeremiah, I believe, viewed himself as a man that stood against the rest of the world, that he was a man of strife, he was a man of contention to the whole earth, because the words he was speaking were totally contrary to what the politicians were saying, the priests were saying, the false prophets were saying, the pastors were saying, the patriots were saying. He was totally contrary. And he's crying out with the message that God is putting in his heart. And then he says in the latter part, I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them does curse me. So here was the prophet being cursed for the message he was bringing. Jeremiah 15:11, the Lord said, verily, it shall be well with thy remnant. Well, praise God for the remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Man, if you're part of the remnant, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, if your life is an emulation of Christ likeness, if you follow and obey the Lord, if you have bowed the knee and the heart and the soul and the mind to Jesus, if you have allowed his government, his word, to direct your life in the course of your life, If you are a lover of God, if you are a lover of the Holy Spirit, if you are a lover of Jesus, if you are willing to lay your life down to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, if you are a real Christian, really, God says that even in the time of calamity, I'm going to cause the enemy to treat you well. And in verse 12, he says, shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. So here we are, and this is one of the visions we had back in 1992 and 93, that we had borders protected with military power all throughout this nation. And then God took me into the center of this country and showed me that we were dying and decaying from within. And it's interesting in verse 13 that your treasures will be spoiled without price for all your sins, even in all your borders. And then verse 14, and I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you. I told you the other day, I had a vision of a huge matchstick in my hand. It was like, not in my hand, it was so big you could put it in a whole hand, and that matchstick was being struck upon the flint or whatever it is, and that it would be a fire that would burn. And this was happening while the Notre Dame was burning. And here in verse 14, again, another confirmation, for a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you. Wow. Well, Patricia, before I go any further, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. I have a few more verses I want to get into, but good morning. God bless you. Welcome to this radio broadcast. How are you today?
I am doing well. I would like to see the sunshine again. But other than that, I am doing well in spite of what we see coming upon the earth. And you know, the Bible tells us that in the last days that the church will not endure sound doctrine. And I was praying about that and wondering, Lord, why has this nation changed so quickly and in such an evil pattern of destruction and all over the world? And what I heard in my spirit was that they have stopped enduring sound doctrine within my church, which opened the door to heresy, apostasy. It opened the door to things that are extremely dangerous. And what happened is it gave opportunity for Satan to move mightily in knowing his time was short, not only in our nation, which is the last bastion to overcome, but all over the world. So sound doctrine and has been eliminated within this nation for the most part, not all. And that which could endure through all kinds of ridiculous situations that we're seeing right now has not been able to because we lack that sound doctrine. The church has turned to the desire of consumption. We're a spoiled people, and money is the thing that has become the utmost. It's telling the church that if they give money, they're going to return so much more money to them, which is a truth. But using these scriptures in such a manner and way that they promise them anything as long as they give money, God's able to take care of everyone like he has taken care of us in our ministry without this apostasy. So I believe with all my heart that the love of money within the church, that is where it starts. Judgment starts in the house of God, created an atmosphere of apostasy. And because of false doctrine of this sort, there wasn't the strength to continue on in the manner in which was done in the early times of this nation when there was sound teaching, not perfect, but much more to the ability to be blessed abundantly because we honor God in a manner in which he called us to. So the enemy has had an advantage, and that is the destruction right now we're seeing, and it's going to be worse until we understand that we must become a people that will be separated, put apart, and an overcoming group who are his remnant.
Well, amen to that. And we just read in the scriptures how God is going to treat the remnant in that day. And I want to just go on and just remind that what we just read in verse 14 is that there will be a fire burning within the borders. Okay, that's what God, that's the secret. That's within your borders, a fire is kindled and it shall burn upon you. And then in verse 15, there's a real shift here where the prophet begins to cry out to God. And listen to his words. And this is very important to you out there today. He says, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke." Now imagine Jeremiah crying out to God these words. He said in 16, "Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail?" Boy, he is crying out. He's crying out. He's accusing God. You know, are you going to be a liar? Are you going to leave me in this perpetual pain that I'm in, this indignation? I'm a contention to the whole world. I'm a strife to the whole world. I can't get along with anybody because this message you have put in my heart does not afford making friends and influencing people. So he's crying out to God in verse 19. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou to them." You know what was happening? He began because the message was so intense that God had put on side of him. There were moments where he didn't speak it. And then this judgment, not a judgment, but this internal was going on inside of him. He couldn't shake it. And now God is saying, listen, if you return to do what I called you to do, if you speak up on my behalf and say what I tell you to say, I don't care what everybody else tells you to say. I don't care what is popular. I don't care what they want you to say. You say what I tell you to say, then I'm gonna give you a little peace, and I will make thee unto this people, Jeremiah, fenced brazen wall. They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you, saith the Lord. And I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So God is promising to the faithful a deliverance. And God is saying to his church today, I believe, I have called you to be light and I have called you to be salt, and you have turned that into an effeminate reality. In my opinion, the church is not, you know, just because you're a soft-spoken, big smiling, you know, don't say anything, tolerant a little person does not mean you're being salt and light. I believe that Jeremiah is where the church ought to be today, with a voice from the throne of heaven, thundering the voice of God upon the nations of the earth. And yet we live in this atmosphere much like Lot did. And you will remember that Lot suffered every day of his life. He says he was vexed every day by the filthy conduct of the wicked. And I believe there's a lot of righteous people in the land that are suffering vexation every day in their thoughts and in their heart and their mind. It's not their own. It's the atmosphere around them. That's why we put on the full armor of God to be able to stand. But Abraham was not down there. Abraham was on a mountaintop having lunch with the Lord, making covenant with God, moving on in the eternal purpose of God. If you happen to be a righteous person living in Sodom and Gomorrah, maybe you need to get out of there. And if you are one of the seed of Abraham, the children of Abraham, get on the mountaintop, get to your high place, walk with God, and you will not experience the things that are going on in the world today in your heart. But you must speak the word of God.
Well, honey...
We do this all the time. It's okay. She tries to rein me in. It's okay. I feel very passionate about what I say, and your thoughts to balance it out.
Well, we have to understand that in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, the true prophets of God were always harassed. I mean, it is nothing new. Those who were not true prophets, they spoke good things, nice things, things that brought absolutely no razor's edge of division between good and evil. We are in a time where that's unaffordable, and it was then, and even more so today, because now it's worse upon the nations and the world than it's ever been, and it's going to worsen. So rejoice in this, because the true prophets of God will always have to speak the truth. And it was always known that they were ridiculed, they were put down, people were angry against them, and almost to the point of wanting to kill them, and in some cases have. So this is the truth of the matter. And in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, in the times that we are in today, the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. I believe the doctrines of demons is what you've been hearing from the church, that everything is okay, everything's good, and it's going to be all right with you without changing your position within your heart, within your soul, to have clean hands and a pure heart toward God. That is the answer. But it has not been the moment in which the pastors or the ministers have pointed a finger against sin. It has been pastors and ministers who have said, you can have so much if you listen to what I say. So again, it is a consumption spirit that has hit the church in the last 40 years, maybe 50, and changed the way in which we did things in this country. Consequently, we lost the power to do what is perfect in God's sight. And the open door came, a huge open door from the enemy. One other scripture I want to read is in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy, and that's what I was talking about, comes first. And then the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Now, we know this is true. This is the word of God. How are we then to be? Are we to have sloppy agape, greasy grace, or are we to speak the truth in love that we may be the overcomers God called us to be, that our sin nature is put away for the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to move in us like it never has moved within the church previously?
Excellent words. And Patricia, I just happened to be open to 2 Peter chapter 2 when you started talking. I'm going to read that in just a moment, but I want to say something. There's somebody out there right now, your eyes, as you continue to live without premature death, okay, your eyes are going to see the exact image that people have seen. If you've seen Notre Dame burning, you're going to see it in the Vatican in Rome, and you're going to see it in Washington, D.C. You are going to see the flames and the fires burning in these fortified cities that have been built up to heaven, but they shall be cast down to hell. That's what Jesus Christ said to Capernaum. Though you build yourself up into heaven, I will thrust you down into hell. These fortified places that seem to be unapproachable, you know, you cannot get in. God, you're going to see it with your eyes, the same images. And the devastating violence that is going to come against them is going to shock the world. It's going to be shocked. I'm not shocked at Notre Dame. You will be shocked when you see Washington, D.C. aflame, and you will see it in the Vatican. And I want to read out of 2 Peter chapter 2, picking up what you said, Patricia. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. There are a lot of Christians who have been made merchandise from the people that you're watching and listening to on television and around the world. Verse 4, listen carefully. This is the Apostle Peter. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample, there's that pattern again, unto those that after should live ungodly. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Wow, Patricia, this is something where how can any Christian neglect to hear what the Apostle Peter is saying, that we should remember that God means business. It's serious business, but he has been a long-suffering, merciful God. He's given a lot of time, but it appears that we have stepped into a paradigm. We have shifted into a moment wherein all the prophecies against the nations and our nation are being fulfilled and are going to be fulfilled in dramatic ways. The wild man is being loosed. Ishmael has been hissed for. He is coming to the shores of this country, and we're seeing his activity around and about where other nations once boasted the Christ or the Christian faith. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is the trouble we're seeing is because of the development within the church of a covetous, greedy spirit that has taken over the majority, and as I call it, greasy faith or
greasy
sloppy
grace.
Agape.
Yeah, yeah.
I have my own. And in
she
that,
always makes up her own words, by the way. That's great.
In this concept and idea of what took place within the church and the doctrines that are not true doctrines, but part doctrines put together in such a way that we have then various churches of different denominations, this has caused a frustration and anxiety and an open door opportunity for Satan to first come into the church in deception and then begin to destroy the rest of the world. Because if he gets us, he gets the rest of the world. So in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, it says, but the Spirit explicitly, listen to those words, explicitly, not little and not just enough, but explicitly with a definiteness says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And what I have expressed to you about the idea of giving and ministering the word of God for covetousness, mostly and greed, is doctrines of demons. And by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. And that is what happened to many ministers who saw the actions of others and said, you know what? I can have all that financial blessing also. I can have so much money by doing what I'm doing that I can tell other Christians the same and they will have the same. Now, is it wrong to be blessed financially? Absolutely not. But when it becomes covetousness and greediness in the pulpit, that's a whole different story. Let's get back to truth and understand that those who will be saved because they have sound doctrine and not doctrines of demons and not hypocrisy within the church and not heresy within the church, not apostasy within the church. The Holy Spirit foretold of a specific end time season when some Christians would not only lose their appetite for sound doctrine, but they would also actually develop a distaste for it. I think that's where we are. Instead, they would acquire a distinct taste for doctrine that is unwholesome, greed and covetousness, preferring a self-help style of teaching over the teaching of sound doctrine, and it becomes apostasy. We are there. We are there. And this is why we are crying out with all our heart to whoever is listening throughout the world. Please understand the difference between sound doctrine and doctrines of heresy. 2 Timothy 4:3 was already brought up, but Paul forecasted a moment when large numbers of people would no longer have a stomach for sound doctrine. Instead, after their own lusts, and what would that lust be? It would be covetousness, greed. They heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Well, we are not teachers that cause itching ears. We are teachers that speak the truth in love. And sometimes, brother and sister, it is razor's edge.
It certainly is. And I want to give a caution to people that are hearing this broadcast right now. And I would imagine each one of us need to take heed to this, because I think we're all vulnerable to this. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 10, it says that Jesus called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand, not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." So he was teaching. And then it says in verse 12, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" You know, the disciples were like, "Lord, you're saying things that are offending the Pharisees. You're offending these people." But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Jesus did not care one bit about his word offending the religious leaders of his day. And we need to make sure that when the word of God comes in the strength that the Lord Jesus or the Spirit of God would bring it, we don't get offended at that word. We don't get repulsed at that word. We don't turn away from that word. We have to be able to hear by the Spirit of the living God what God is saying to our generation. But, you know, the blind Pharisees couldn't see. They were deaf. They couldn't hear. They didn't understand. Their hearts were hardened. And so we live in an environment where everything, like you said, Patricia, is greasy grace, sloppy agape, and yet all around us, there is something more brutal and violent taking place, and God is screaming from the rooftops, waking up his people everywhere. And dear friends, don't you dare get offended when the truth of God is spoken, because the Lord would simply say, "Let them alone."
You know what was wrong with the Pharisees? They had hearts full of lust. And after their own lust, they heaped to themselves teachers of itching ears. They wanted what they wanted. They wanted to control. They wanted to have everything available to them. Their desire was greedy. Jesus knew this. And you know, the word lust describes desires or whims. In other words, this part of the verse could be translated, "But after their own desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." They did not want to hear what Jesus Christ was saying. It was taking away their control, their lusts, and their desire for richness. And this is what we're seeing today. They are hypocrisy, and they are Pharisees, and they're going to come down, as you said, those that are doing these things.
Patricia, you and I, who have been serving together for 26 years, coming up on 27 years, we've been serving together. You've been serving the Lord in a leadership position for nearly 30 years. I think it's like 31 or 32 years. And I can honestly say, before God, that the genuine love of God is in our hearts for all people everywhere. I believe it's for the homosexual, the lesbian, the transgender, the woman that's had an abortion, the man that's stuck in pornography, the proud man, the thief, the liar. Now, we obviously have a pure hatred for evil within ourselves and within the world in which we live. And God told us to hate what is evil. But we love people, and we call people everywhere to come to a place, like I told a young man the other night.
Come to repentance.
You know, just admit your sin. You know, admit the fact that your conscience knows that you're sinning against God. Your own conscience is telling you, don't harden your conscience. And so the cry in this very late hour of the judgment that's going to hit the world, because it's time. It's time for the millennial reign of Christ. It's time for the Lord to return. The signs of the times. Our generation is the most prophetic generation in the history of the church age. And we're using every mechanism available to us through technology to use it for the glory of doing what we're doing right now. I mean, this is an amazing thing that people can call into a program right now, anywhere in the world, and talk to us about anything that is on their heart. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the telephone lines right now. We're packed out, but I see someone has called in, and it looks like we're going to take that call. Area code 479-855. You are on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, pastors. How are you doing today?
We are blessed, highly favored, and overcoming in the name of Jesus. How are you today?
I am blessed. I'm really glad I tuned in this morning to listen to you again. You know, yesterday when I heard you on Kerm, I was astounded because I've never heard you come out so strongly with your beliefs and what is going on in the world today. And I was really pleased as I listened to the broadcast yesterday where you began to expound upon it and begin to make more and more sense. And today, even more so, listening to what you had to say in 1 Corinthians and Jeremiah. You know, Pastor, I've always been like to think of God, like to think of the things that God is doing in the world today, and from the view perspective of being an optimist, in the sense that I believe that all of these catastrophes and things that have been going on are warnings from God, warnings to draw the people back to Him. Saying that these are the things that will happen and can happen with more intensity, but return to me and I will establish my protection over you as you come back to me. Now I believe that time is coming to an end very abruptly, and now is beginning to turn into the judgment of God that is going to be coming against all those who have not accepted Christ, that are not living for Him and through Him and in Him. And my mind went back to Moses came down from the mount with the Ten Commandments on there and saw the mayhem that was going on in the community where they were worshiping idols and dancing and having orgies going on. And he said, all those who will follow me come to stand here on my right-hand side, and all those that remain will swallow up in a huge earthquake and destroyed. That is the thing that I see happening today. I believe that time where it was a call to come back is over, and now is the time of the judgment beginning. So we need to see the people finally accept the Lord and come to Him and do His service.
That's a powerful word, Pastor Ken. And, you know, I personally know your heart, and I know you are an optimist, and I know you love God. And yet I know that you've been willing to hear the word of the Lord, even though it hasn't always been a pleasure for you to do so, because you have such a desire to walk in the joy of the Lord, the love of God. We also share that desire. You get to be the good cop. I get to be the bad cop once in a while. But together it balances. And I happen to agree with the love message that you carry in my heart. You happen to agree with this message that I'm sharing in your heart. And so it balances together. We have a job to do. The thing that really strikes me in Jeremiah 15:1, where God said, I want you to cast these people out of my sight. He told the prophet to do that, and it was his words. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to close up right now. Pastor Ken, I want to thank you for calling into the broadcast. We're going to have to say goodbye, but if you turn your television set on right now on Fox News or whatever news station you listen to, the President of the United States is preparing to speak, and so we'll see how he responds to Attorney General Matt Barr's redacted part of the Mueller report. Patricia, we got just a second left
to go. Okay, I just want to say that since there also will be a group of believers, and I hope that's us, emerging who will hold to the ageless word of truth and proclaim its timeless teaching. Let's do it now.
Amen and amen. All right, get on over. If you're not going to watch Fox News, get on over to a roundtable discussion happening right now, omegaradio.org. We're going to say goodbye for now. God bless everybody. See you tomorrow. Passover begins tomorrow night.